Do we have?
I think we have approximately 29
okay.
in person and on the phone.
All right. I'm going to keep with the 20 minutes per item, board item. So,
we as a group tried to narrow it down
to 7 speakers.
To 7 speakers?
Okay.
We can go try that, but if it goes over, if it hits 20, or it's done with the public comment. So you can go ahead and just you have your 3 minutes, or try to narrow it down however you want to use that 20 minutes.
I have people on the phone as well.
Yeah.
So,
yes, we've got that.
So Amanda Stroberg, okay.
Hi, and I'm going to talk really, really fast because of the time. Hopefully you all got my email today. I did email the board and some members of the cabinet. I'm a staff member. I have 3 kids in the district. Just my main points, and I just want to publicly state it, is the whole purpose of the vaccine is not to stop COVID. It was to prevent the person who took the vaccine from having severe symptoms and possibly death, especially based on age and your risk category in regards to comorbidities. You can still transmit this virus if you're vaccinated and get COVID. As I mentioned, we have had vaccinated students test positive. We've had vaccinated parents test positive. It does not stop the spread of COVID. Just this month, there was a COVID outbreak on a ship, 100% vaccinated. They had to produce a negative test to board the ship, and there was an outbreak for 17 people. Every single person was vaccinated. In addition, the first Omicron variant case in person in San Diego, vaccinated with a booster. Just today, released, an Oxford study published says 2-dose COVID-19 vaccines generate a lower antibody response against the Omicron strain, suggesting the variant could lead to more infections among the fully vaccinated. Vaccinated are showing viral loads very high, similar to the unvaccinated, and are as infectious. CDC director said they are doing well against preventing severe illness and death, which is what they were intended to do, but they cannot. What they cannot do anymore is prevent transmission, should be choice. We do know natural immunity is just as effective. Please see the 141 studies that I emailed you, scientific studies. I also emailed you 32 studies on how the vaccine does not prevent the spread. I also think what's noteworthy to mention is that the inventor of the mRNA technology, Dr. Robert Malone, said students and children should not be getting this vaccine up to 18, 19, simply because we do not have any long-term data on this. We do know that there are cases in VAERS. How minor they may be, they exist. My brother-in-law is a pediatric hospitalist. He works at a children's hospital. He has been personally logging into VAERS since August. There are kids coming in with problems, and they are not always temporary. Some of them are permanent. Thank you.
Shane Stroberg.
Thank you.
My name is Shane Stroberg. I'm a CPA in your community for the last 22 years. Qualify as an expert in tax, financial analysis, and any kind of number thing you want to talk about. You're going to hear a lot of stats about COVID and what it does and what the vaccine does and all of that. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about first, thank you all for the job you do here. It's a thankless job, making tough decisions. So thank you for what you guys do in this room. Second, congratulations on your pending positive certification. 3 years coming, great job. That was a difficult task. Congratulations on getting it there. With 3 years of financial scrutiny, I want to issue this bit of caution on this. You guys can't afford to do this. Legally, you've got scholarship athletes, you've got scholarship students, you've got people risking the rest of their life, may not finish school if this is put into place. You've got athletes, they may not be able to take that scholarship if this is put into place. You're going to have legal ramifications of that. Two, ADA, you already have the constructive deficit that she spoke about in the financial analysis half hour ago, whenever that was. That's already in there. It's already going down. It's going to go down more when you lose students, you lose teachers. Okay, when you have revenue dropping and expenses going up, that's bad news for what you guys spent 3 years getting out of. So make the right call. You're going to hear a lot of stats about what this does and what's good and bad about it. You can't afford to do this, medical aside. So thanks for what you guys are doing here.
Thank you.
Lindsay Sparks.
I'm also going to read very quickly. I'm a district teacher of 16 years, a union member who is COVID vaccinated, and a mother of a COVID unvaccinated district student. Like many other unvaccinated and even vaccinated district members, I urge you not to implement any form of COVID mandates. Arturo Solis said the district wants to enforce the mandate to ensure the largest number of in-person learning, but implementing a mandate would decrease the number of in-person learning because more than 12,000 students would be excluded from in-person learning by this mandate, far more than the total 998 students who had COVID positive cases this semester. These are also students who, for the past 6 months, have been safely attending in-person learning with no mandate. COVID is not the leading cause of illnesses on our campuses. According to the district's COVID dashboard data, at my school site, since July, there has been an average of about only 8 COVID-positive student cases per month, indicating we are generally safe from COVID. However, there's been an average of 467 non-COVID illness-related absences each month, according to my site's attendance report, revealing that COVID-related illnesses are 58 times less likely than regular illnesses at our school sites. According to our district, only about 0 to 36 students actually test positive for COVID per site per month, some of them also being vaccinated. Why are we considering mandating the vaccination of tens of thousands of staff and students when there are less than 36 student cases per school site per month, far less than the average 467 absences for other illnesses, and the effectiveness and safety of the vaccine is still questionable? The first rotavirus vaccine approved by the FDA was withdrawn in less than a year for a proven association with intussusception, a deadly complication in the intestines. It took 8 years to develop and license a safer vaccine. Currently, there is no long-term data for the COVID vaccine, and there's also a long list of serious COVID vaccine reactions. And this is the very reason why I do not agree with mandating COVID vaccines for anyone, especially our children, and especially segregating our athletes and extracurriculars. It must be a personal choice. Thank you.
Terry Sparks.
I'm a special ed teacher of 12 years in the district, COVID vaccinated union member, and a parent of a COVID unvaccinated student athlete who will now be banned from sports by resolution 4762. And will be banned from in-class learning if you continue to enact future phase of the mandate. I urge you not to implement any form of the COVID vaccine mandate. It violates civil rights and district policy by creating an inadequate work and educational environment. Board policy for non-discrimination states, Board of Trustees shall ensure equal opportunities for all students in access to educational, athletic, and other activities, carefully guard against segregation, and ensure discriminatory practices are eliminated in all district activities. Ed and penal codes also prohibit discrimination regarding equitable access to education athletic programs, free expression, and prohibits interference with constitutional rights and privileges. Education is a right and a privilege. Our district's vision, mission statement, and policies include words like inclusive, equitable, activity engaging, meaningful education, transparency, the value of community, voice and decision making, and fairness. Implementing any current and future COVID vaccine mandate directly violates these policies by creating discrimination in the workforce and by segregating unvaccinated students into a more restrictive online learning environment, extracurricular activities, and banning them from them. Vaccinated staff will be free to work while unvaccinated will be fired. Vaccinated students will be nurtured and interactive, multimodal, rigorous learning, while unvaccinated will be segregated to online learning in their isolated bedrooms. Vaccinated students will compete in sports, be recruited by universities on athletic scholarships, while unvaccinated will be banned, prevented from equal access to athletic attention and scholarships. Vaccinated students will develop confidence and creativity with performing arts, while unvaccinated won't. What are we teaching our students about how to end discriminatory behavior when their teacher gets fired, when their best friend can't be on campus because they've been segregated to online learning for different views, want to have a choice about a treatment of their body?
Thank you.
Jessica McKittrick.
Good evening. I'm here tonight as a 15-year teacher of the district, and I urge you not to implement any form of COVID vaccine mandates. If you find yourselves hard-pressed by the state, then there are two solutions to this issue of inequity and injustice. One is to not implement any form of a COVID-19 vaccine mandate at all. Even though the governor is mandating this, why is our district considering joining LA and city schools with rushing ahead to be the first to implement it, to create chaos and to trample on its stakeholders' rights? Why aren't we rushing ahead to be one of the first districts to set the example of protecting the rights and choices of all stakeholders by opposing the mandate, like Clovis Unified and Capo Valley Schools did? The other solution would be to, at a minimum, allow and approve not just medical and religious exemptions, but also personal exemptions to all people who request them. Because the governor's mandate for school children was established by regulation instead of legislation, it must and does allow for medical, religious, and personal belief exemptions. If our district were to allow and approve all three types of exemptions, the district would be able to be in legal compliance with the mandate while also upholding its district policies that promote equity and prohibit discrimination and segregation. Not to mention, it would save a lot of money in legal fees and avoid a lot of bad press as well as chaos. Modern Day's school district published a public statement saying this: "The law requires that any mandate include a medical exemption and a personal belief exemption. The Catholic Schools of San Diego will accept any parent's request for exemption as valid. The question of COVID mandates divides our parent communities and it divides our societies. We hope that this course of action balances the need to protect the health of our students, teachers, and staff with the rights of parents to decide issues vital to their children. Why can't our district do the same? Why not be a part of a legacy that listens to all of its stakeholders, that supports diversity and equity by accepting all three types of exemptions so that people with all beliefs in our district can be free from discrimination?" Thank you.
Autumn Reed.